What is going on, everybody? We're doing another show. What are you doing?
I was just mocking you, just like I'm going to mock you for Liverpool's result today.
What a special way to kick off episode 40 of Radio Techers. Join us.
Salah's got there. Terribly difficult angle, but he scored. That's incredible. How did he do that? Go Salah.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to yet another episode of Radio Techers. I am, of course, Tanner, a.k.a. the Texas Gentleman. And along with me here, the hardest-working mocking man in podcasting, my good friend and yours, Mags. Mags, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Really, really busy. Apologies for this being a late recording, but... yeah, just this weekend has been an absolute madness, but at least we've got to see the further destruction of Jurgen Klopp.
Wow, this is a wild way to start the show. well, we can talk about all sorts of stuff. We'll talk about Liverpool. We'll talk about we've got a lot to talk about game wise here across the board. We're gonna go. International here, Mags. We've got a lot of different stuff to digest here. So, fun times in football land. What we would want to do here today, since this is Radio Techers episode 40, I did go out. I splurged a little bit. I got us a special guest, Mags. I got us a very special guest. Okay, are you ready for this?
Is that Legolas?
It is. It's Legolas.
I don't even think Legolas could save Liverpool's season.
I flew him in from Hawaii, as you can tell. Got an LA.
I mean, it's very topical. I certainly get the reference.
I don't know. I just figured it'd be fun since we got episode 40 here. Got to make it spicy. Got to bring out the big guns. Orlando Bloom, that's who brings the ratings here to this show.
When I think of 40th episode of a podcast, I instantly go to Lord of the Rings. It's just the two are intertwined.
Indeed. Well, like I said, folks, we've got a big show here today, not to be confused with Paul White. We've got Rivalry Weekend is what I like to call it, Rivalry Weekend. We get these on occasion where, whether it be in Premier League or Serie A or La Liga or the Bundesliga, we get these weekends that are just chock full of high-profile matches. So this time around, we've got the Manchester Derby today, along with the Madrid Derby over in La Liga. Yesterday, we had Der Klassiker in Germany, Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund. Mags, for the non-football fan out there, what is the magnitude like for a weekend like this in the sport?
Yeah, for three of Europe's biggest local rivalry matches to land on the same weekend is absolutely amazing. It's what really brings out the passion in a lot of fans. It's all well and good beating teams from halfway across the country, but when you can stick one on your local rivals and you get those bragging rights, which can carry on till the next season, it's what makes football so exciting. So, yeah, I love weeks like this. Unfortunately for Burnley, our local rivals are all kind of buried in the dirt, so they can all go on and suck a fat one. I love these big kind of like competitive derbies.
Indeed. The only thing that I can equate a weekend like this to, because you don't really get, I mean, sometimes you get a big weekend in like the NFL or in basketball. But like this is like weekends like this for football is like, it's like a music festival. You've got you've got like headliners on each day. There's big matches, big events. Fans are full of passion and energy. You can actually feel it radiating. Even like if you're here like me, like in the States, you can feel it radiating stateside, and it just brings you with so much energy. I can barely equate it to anything else, really. Just like the excitement that you get out of a weekend like this, full of huge, high profile matches.
Yeah.
So let's talk about them. I mean, do you want to jump right into the matches, or do you want? I've got some other little topics that we could touch on here too. Rangers winning the first championship in 10 years or so. I mean, there's that.
I mean, we could. I suppose we should. Like have a starter maybe, then go on to the main course of these derbies. So why don't we quickly go over some other results in the Premier League?
Okay, Mags, where would you like to start with other results in the Premier League?
Okay, so I'm not gonna be that guy just yet. I'm gonna go to Turf Moor. I'm gonna go to Burnley.
Okay. Let's talk
about
Burnley.
Didn't expect that one, did you?
No, Burnley won, Arsenal won. It was I feel like I feel really happy for you, first off, because I mean you pulled out yet another result right out of the bag. It wasn't a win quite, but you still performed very, very well against the top Arsenal side. Now for Arsenal, I fear as though they are starting to like go back to where they were in the fall. Yeah, they're degressing, which is not, I guess, unusual for Arsenal at this point in the season, but still, it's very surprising.
Yeah, for me, it almost felt like we were going to get another Man City or Man United style drubbing once Aubameyang scored really early. Arsenal were cruising, having lots of possession, lots of shots. Burnley's defence, which has been one of the highlights of the team over this season, looked a little bit lacklustre, looked a little bit out of sorts. You had Matt Lawton making mistakes. Tarkowski and Ben Mee were not exactly firing on all cylinders. And even Nick Pope kind of looked vulnerable. So I was fully expecting this to be almost a cricket score game. And then we kind of almost rode it out, really kind of defending solidly. And then Granit Xhaka gifted pretty much a goal by, I don't even know what, I mean, he was free in the box with the ball. He had no reason to go for the pass that he went to. He tried to spread it out wider to the fullback. Totally hit Chris Wood and it went in the net. So it was an absolute gift of a goal. And then the second half, Burnley came to absolute life, had some really, really good chances, really exciting play. Rode the luck a little bit with the handball by Peters. Probably should have been a penalty. But then the second Peters incident, when he was given his marching orders and a penalty, I totally agree with the referee and VAR for once they've got this spot on. It hit his shoulder. It was a perfectly fine clearance and the penalty and the red card was rescinded. Then the last 5 minutes, Burnley had some great chances hitting the post and the bar. Arsenal had some great chances. I think Nicolas Pepe hit the bar in the last minute, and Burnley really kind of just all hands on deck, 10 men behind the ball style defended, and we got a point that I think we deserved. It was certainly a game of two halves. I think we deserved it for soaking up that amount of pressure. And it's turned out to be the kind of the benchmark of Burnley season, just picking up draw after draw after draw.
Indeed. And I think that you're gonna find yourself safe from the drop zone. I feel as though I feel like that's very well within the possibilities here for Burnley. I mean, if we look at the standings currently, I mean, it looks like you're about 15th place right now. You're above Brighton, which we should make a note of here. For anybody who might be missing the one, the only Mr. Stephen Grudy, he is taking a bit of a sabbatical. He's not with us here this week once again. But if Stephen, if you're out there, if you're watching, we appreciate you. And we would love to have you back as soon as possible.
Correct. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That being said, I mean, this was a kind of a weird, wonky weekend for results. I feel like, cause I mean, you look at like Sheffield United, they went, nil to two against Southampton beating Sheffield United 2-0, Aston Villa Wolves, another 0-0, Leicester Brighton. There was some excitement there with Brighton scoring the opening goal, but, Leicester was able to come back near the death 2-1. Let me see here. And then, earlier today, West Brom, drew 0-0 with Newcastle.
We've watched some absolute dross matches. We've watched some boring matches live and really kind of like made a chicken salad out of chicken shit. But this was such a horrible match to watch. It was so drab. It's good that Newcastle picked up a point. But wow. Yeah, it was a horrific match to watch.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And then, I want to take a quick nap. Do you want to talk about Liverpool versus Fulham real quick?
Much as I rag on Tanner for being a Liverpool fan, and he basically needs to take his medicine like a man, I feel so bad for Klopp. His players are just not performing for him at all. Mm. Making 7 changes from the last game just to try and like spark some energy and outside probably Naby Keita. I thought that nobody was impressive in that starting lineup. When they brought Trent on in the second half, I felt like he was making more chances and creating. But the likes of Salah, Mane, these are a shadow of the players that they were last season. And as bad as Liverpool's defence has been and has really struggled, It's been highlighted by the fact that all three of their front men are so badly off form. And it goes to show how badly off form they are that a player who's just made his comeback from a very serious injury had the best chance of the game for Liverpool. Diogo Jota's shot, 9 times out of 10, that was a goal. And it was an outstanding save by Areola to keep that out. But aside from that, Liverpool just looked toothless. Fulham were quicker, they were more energetic, they played well on the counter. Liverpool just didn't look like they had passion, they didn't look like they had any energy, they didn't look like they had any impetus to try and break Fulham down. And unfortunately, I think losing has really affected the confidence, and I can't see where they pick up a win. It's interesting that they've got Champions League football this weekend. Maybe again, like it did last time, that could be the kind of saving grace. And they certainly need it now to get back into the Champions League for next season, because it's getting more and more of a hill to climb for Liverpool.
I mean, a win of the Champions League for Liverpool would certainly provide a great impetus and a great catalyst for hopefully them regaining some confidence here. There's certain things that I think certainly don't help, right? Like, I don't think, like, Jamie Carragher kind of made himself go viral a little bit earlier today by calling Liverpool mentality midgets, is his quote, which, I mean... Look, it doesn't do Liverpool any favors at all. That's not to say that it might not have a hint of harsh truth to it, but Liverpool has. I don't know. I really don't know what the answer is here, which is mm-hmm. shocking, right? This is like. Like, this is one of those like weird things where you can, where it's like Groundhog Day ever on a weekly basis. You relive some kind of traumatic event going on a weekly basis. I mean, I pulled this thing up here earlier. If you look up the Premier League results for Liverpool, they've only scored twice in the Premier League since the beginning of February. Only two goals, which is unacceptable for a Liverpool team that dominated England and Europe for the last 3 years.
And they've gone behind in six league games in a row, which is, it's statistics that are going to be record breakers, but it's not records that you want to be proud of. I just don't see where the change comes, because there's just such a lack of confidence in all the squad, even the players that they brought in. They had the chance and opportunity to really kind of cement their stake for a first team spot. Everybody's been playing poorly. Those positions are up for grabs. Nobody took that impetus. Nobody at home, perhaps maybe, like I said, Naby Keita. But yeah, it was just woefully disappointing.
Mike JC has joined us here. How's it going, Mike? Hope you're doing
well. Hello, Mike.
I hope you're watching tonight's AEW show, where we will have some coverage right here tonight on Shooting the Sports Ish. So make sure to join us for that as well. I mean, a thought came to me while I was watching the game, and it was very reminiscent of like the Germany team post them winning the World Cup in 2014, where it's like, you know, maybe Liverpool should have like actually sold, you know, Mane and Salah and Firmino last summer. Maybe they should have used this as an impetus to rebuild the squad a little bit, you know, freshen things up, change the dynamics of it. But I think that this is just a slippery slope for Liverpool, where they continue to just go downhill from all sorts of different mistakes and factors. I mean, there was a, if you watched the game, Liverpool game, we'll move on to other results here momentarily, but there was a plane that actually flew over here. Let me grab the picture. A plane flew over, and if you can read that, it says, "Unity is strength. Let's go, Reds. You'll never walk alone." That flew over during the game, and it was just like, "Oh, that's kind of nice." But the engine, you could hear the engine so loud over the stadium because there weren't any fans, which was very reminiscent of Liverpool's current state of form, unfortunately.
It sounded so much like a lawnmower, like the neighbor was cutting his grass.
Indeed. So yeah, I don't know where Liverpool goes from here, but we'll carry on. Let's move on to our top stories here real quick. Indeed. Breaking news, Mags. Manchester is red. Did you know this?
I mean, living very close to Manchester, it's been red for a long, long time. The majority of people who live in and around Manchester Centre are Manchester United supporters. Manchester City are very much a lot of plastic fans.
I see. Hi, Manchester City fans. Hope you're enjoying the show. Manchester United.
I'm sure there's genuine fans. I'm not saying that there's not genuine fans. It's just when a team becomes successful, they suddenly fans crawl out of the woodwork.
Indeed. It seems that way, doesn't it? Manchester City 0, Manchester United 2. Who could have thunk it? Who, like, I would have never in a million years. Look at this here. Luke Shaw has to be man of the match for me, just scoring a goal in the second half to seal the deal here on Manchester City, breaking their unbeaten run. Wild scene, wild result there by Manchester United. I certainly think that this probably broke a lot of people's bets this weekend. Yes, here, Mags.
Absolutely. And within 30 seconds, Man United being 1-0 up after Jesus fouled Anthony Martial.
What a ridiculous foul, too. I don't generally go after players here on the show, but that was one of the most boneheaded challenges that I've seen in a long time.
Absolutely no need for it. And Man United got what they deserved. I mean, if you're looking at the stats, City dominated the game in pretty much everywhere, more possession. Three times the amount of shots, with 23 against 8. City were giving it to Man United, hammer and tongue. They was absolutely peppering the goal with shots, but United did a Burnley, and they were resolute. They frustrated City, and when they had opportunities, they broke and they made the best of them. And Luke Shaw, I think that was the only second goal in Man United jersey. Very calm, cool, collected finish. And wow, that was not the result that anybody pinned. And if someone's going to break Manchester City's streak, it had to be Manchester United, didn't it? Surely.
Possibly so. It's happened. This is very much the reality that we're living in right now. Mags, Manchester United, with this victory here, they're clawing this back a little bit more. Both Manchester teams are in 28 games played. Manchester City have 11 points more than Manchester United at this point. Mm-hmm. You and I, did a fantastic job in burying Manchester United's chances earlier this season.
I mean, whose chances didn't we bury? Whose chances did we not bury? We buried Tottenham's chances when they were top of the league, and they're still up in the mix. We buried Man United. We were convinced Liverpool were going to absolutely walk the season. So, yeah, why listen to us? We're just idiots. We have absolutely no clue what we're talking about.
Yeah, we've gotten nearly everything wrong so far this season.
Pretty much.
Except the relegation. I think we've nailed the relegation part down pat pretty well. Mags, for all prediction's sake here, could hell freeze over and Manchester United finally win the Premier League once again this season?
Okay, so historically, I'm going to bring up two times that Man United have been in very, very similar positions. There was a period when Newcastle were absolutely walking away with the league in the times of Kevin Keegan. I think at one point they were 15 points clear. And going down to the last game of the season, Man United ended up winning that league and clawing back those points. And then there was the season with Blackburn as champions. Man United spent a lot of that time, I think up to about 14 points behind. And it took a last-minute super performance by Ludo McCloskey at West Ham to keep from Man United from winning the league, even though Blackburn did end up losing, I think, at Anfield 2-1. So, yeah, Man United have got form for being able to claw back huge deficits. The issue would be Manchester City have to have a collapse of monumental proportions. And whilst the loss to Man United is hard to take, I don't see them losing many more.
Mm-hmm. It's possible. I can recall a few times in the league also where Arsenal seemed to be walking away with the league under Arsene Wenger, only for Manchester United to pip them to the championship. It's yep. It would be very interesting, and I would feel very awful if Manchester United somehow got back in and won the title. But I mean, this anti-football that they've been playing to an extent seems to be working, and you know, credit to them, they're picking up results where they need to pick up results from.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that really stood out to me in this match was Bruno Fernandes has been getting a lot of stick recently for not being a big game player, for going anonymous against the bigger teams. I think he was solid as a rock this game. He really kind of stood out. Probably not the best player for Man United. Like you said, Luke Shaw had an outstanding game. But for me, Bruno Fernandes certainly stood up and was counted in this game and really kind of helped Man United get the victory that they very truly deserved.
Mm, indeed. So again, just for all intents and purposes here, result, Manchester City 0. Manchester United 2, Mags. That was something else. Let's move on to another game that was earlier today. Let's take a little trip over to Spain. Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid, the Madrid derby. Atletico 1, Real Madrid 1. Mags. I've seen documentaries. I actually saw a really interesting like mini documentary. If anybody out there has not heard of Copa 90, they put out amazing YouTube short documentaries that I find really enjoyable, especially when it comes to like rivalries and stuff like that. If you're into somebody who's like really into the history of a rivalry or history of the clubs, definitely check out Copa 90. I would definitely recommend them. I mean, I remember watching this mini documentary, and Madrid fans in Madrid, Atletico fans and Real Madrid fans, there's a large contingency of them who find that this is a bigger rivalry than what Real Madrid and Barcelona have against each other. Mags, this game, it had some very intense moments. I mean, even though with the 1-1 scoreline, maybe it doesn't come across as the most exciting, but these teams really went at each other today.
Yeah, it was. I think Real Madrid can actually feel a little bit aggrieved that they've only come away with a point, even though they did score pretty much at the death. They put Atletico on the back foot for many, many periods of the game. Atletico very much only been able to counter at times. They did start brightly, did Atletico. The setup for the goal was really well played. Kieran Trippier coming back after his 10-week ban for betting irregularities. He played the ball to, I think it was Llorente, who then played the ball for Suarez for a really well-taken kind of outside of the boot finish past Courtois. But after that, it was the Benzema show for me. Karim Benzema was absolutely everywhere. He peppered Oblak with shots, and he must have been getting so, so frustrated. It just didn't seem like it was going to be his day. It seemed like Atletico were going to hold on, do a Chelsea and park the bus and pull out a victory that they on paper probably didn't deserve. But right at the death, Benzema was able to score, level up the game, and he almost pushed for a winner going to the end of it. But it was a very interesting game. It got a little bit scrappy at the end, a couple of bookings, a couple of needless fouls, but it was a really good game to watch. Very kind of attacking from Real Madrid and a very almost counterplay from Atletico. So yeah, it was a really fun game to watch.
I found that Atletico going forward was very, very smooth when they went into attack. Luis Suarez is obviously hugely prolific and continues to be solid. He continues to make Barcelona regret letting him go. I was a little bit surprised that they did not start Joao Felix or Saul, for that matter. I feel like they could have really helped shore up some of what Atletico is doing, both going forward as well as defensively. I mean, that would have been a different game here. As you put, Real Madrid did have some chances right there at the end of the match. Benzema, of course, closing in on one of them. But there were certainly opportunities for Real to win the game, I'm sure. As far as the stats go, fairly even, 11 shots from Atletico Madrid, 18 shots from Real Madrid, five of the 11 were on target for Atletico, 8 of the 18 were on target for Real. Real did have the majority of the possession, over 60%, and looks like they also had about a little bit more than 200 passes more than Atletico, which makes sense if you look at the stat line there. Mags, if we look at the standings right now in La Liga, let me just pull it up real quick just so I have it right here in front of me. Here we go. Atletico Madrid, they really needed this win here tonight. Right now they're on 59 points. Only 3 points separate them from second place Barcelona. Real Madrid is only 5 points behind Atletico Madrid themselves. So it looks like La Liga is wide open right now.
Yeah, and again, to cement just how little we know about football, we wrote Barcelona off not long ago in the season. Now they're second, Koeman is doing a fabulous job, and nobody should ever doubt him ever again. Both teams really could have done with the victory in this. Real Madrid could have gone into joint second, and Atletico could have really kind of put some more breathing room between themselves and Barcelona and Real Madrid. But it's as you were. Atletico still have that game in hand, so there's still the potential for 6 points clear. But it's going to make for an interesting running going towards the end of the season there in La Liga.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Atletico, they need to hang on if they can. They do have a game in hand, but they need to hang on with this run of form that they have, because if they were to make a slip, it could definitely be tragic for them in their title hunt. Mags, do you like goals? Or do you like?
I do like goals.
You like goals. Okay. We'll move on to the next match. I think you'll really like this one. Again, just for all intents and purposes here, Atletico won, Real Madrid won. But since Mags likes goals, let's go and talk about Der Klassiker, which would be Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund. Bayern 4, Dortmund 2. Dortmund looked really, really good starting off the game. They had a hot opening 10 minutes there with Erling Haaland scoring twice, in the second and the ninth minute. But this was quickly resolved by a hat trick from Robert Lewandowski, as well as a goal by Leon Goretzka. It would have been 2-2 up until the 88th minute when Goretzka scored, and then it looked as though Lewandowski cemented it with another goal in the 90th minute. Mm-hmm. Man, Mags, Dortmund really kind of fell off here in this game.
I mean, if you want, let's go with the stats first before we even get to the goals. Bayern had 66% of the ball.
Yeah.
They had 27 shots on goal.
Yeah.
Four shots for Dortmund. Just four. Three of those were on target. Bayern had nine on target. Dortmund had zero corners. This was the Bayern Munich show. After the first 10 minutes, it was almost done and dusted. I mean, Erling Haaland has had the biggest goal drought he's ever had in a Dortmund shirt. He hadn't scored for two games. He was itching. 74 seconds later, the guy drove home a stunning goal from 20 yards. Just, 7 minutes after that, he turned in a short cross from Torgan Hazard, who kind of really showed Leroy Sané's defensive capabilities up, because he just did not want to track back for that ball. And we thought, this is going to be a hard day for Bayern at the Allianz. And then we get the young pup really kind of flexing his muscles, and then the old dog showing that there's still tricks there. And Robert Lewandowski was just phenomenal. Pulled Bayern up by his bootstraps on his own, got him to level pegging by half time, and then the game kind of fizzled out. It was basically all Dortmund hitting, it was all Bayern hitting Dortmund for shot after shot after shot, but nothing was happening, and it looked like we were going to a 2-2 draw. Leon Goretzka said, "No, I'm not having that," with a beautiful volley in off the bottom of the post, and then Robert Lewandowski finishing off with a hat trick. The guy is phenomenal. I mean, this, what is he, 34 years old, and he's still absolutely dominating at this level. It's scarily good. Yeah. It was a brilliant game to watch. Really kind of lots and lots of action. And the two people who stood out, arguably the two deadliest strikers in the world today, in Haaland and Lewandowski.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like whether it be UFC or football in this case here, the Polish really have this sporting thing nailed down, it seems. Lewandowski, amazing. Ballon d'Or, perhaps? I mean, how could you deny Robert Lewandowski the Ballon d'Or this year?
I think the only other challenger for it is going to be his counterpart for Dortmund with Erling Haaland and the phenomenal season he's had. But yeah, three goals, essentially winning the game single-handedly for Bayern when they went 2-0 down before even 10 minutes. Yeah, it was an outstanding performance. And yeah, he's brutal. He's absolutely brutal. He would be a quality signing for anybody. And yeah, he stuck three past his former employers. It's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, Robert Lewandowski, amazing player. And this Bayern team is no joke, folks. I mean, I got into a little bit of a Twitter spat the other day with somebody. I honestly don't remember who. So I mean, the innocent party is going to go scot-free on this one. But somebody was talking to me about, like, oh, no team is going to do what Real Madrid has done in winning back-to-back-to-back championships in Europe. I mean, I think Bayern could easily win three in a row with the kind of form that they're in.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're just on a roll. They're so dominant, and they play so well together. Bayern is a top-class team.
Dortmund are essentially the number two team in Germany. I mean, the league position probably does go against that. I think they're now in sixth, but historically they're the second team. Over the last seven Der Klassikers, Bayern have won all seven. And the aggregate score is Dortmund have got 5 goals, Bayern have got 30 goals in the 7 games. That just shows how massively dominant the red side of Munich is.
If you use fractions, that comes out to being like an average of like what, six goals to one. Goodness, amazing stuff there, folks. So yeah, I mean, that's been Rivalry Weekend. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. The games have been great. Very exciting stuff. Again, I'm all about the passion. Again, with COVID, things have made a little bit more difficult this year, but hopefully in the future, the very near future, we'll be getting fans back at these games so we can all thoroughly enjoy them together. So again, that was Bayern 4, Dortmund 2. I teased it at the beginning of the show, but I wanted to talk about one more thing here before we go on to our hot takes segment, Mags. Rangers, the Glasgow Rangers of Scotland, Glasgow Rangers of Scotland have won their first championship in the Scottish Premier League in 10 years. The first championship in 10 years, ending Celtic's, the arch rivals Celtic's reign, I guess dominance in the league. Again, Rangers manager Steven Gerrard celebrating with the fans out a window. It looks like, big things happening there in Scotland with Rangers very compact 4-3-3 system, and it looks like it's working well in Europe, in the Europa League as well, Mags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what a comeback for Rangers from the decade that they've had, from being massively dominant before that. I mean, Celtic and Rangers have always traded dominance, as there's so many times that one team has done 5-10 titles in a row, then the other team would then win the next 5 or 10. It's always, they've always kind of like juggled those dominances, but once Rangers got hit with sanctions and the club had to fold and then reopen as a new core and start from the bottom of the league and really kind of work their way back up. It's Rangers back where they believe that they belong, at the top of the tree in Scotland. And I think it shows maybe the complacency that Celtic have had in being so dominant without Rangers being there to challenge them for the league. And what a statement for Steven Gerrard, his first management job in football to win a league in what perhaps is record time in Scotland, to win it so early and with so many games to go. It can be so proud of his team, so proud of what they've done over the last 10 years or so to get back and challenge. And Celtic have a lot of work to do to not be dominated again for the next 10 years.
And they've done so unbeaten. There's still 6 games to go, but Rangers are currently unbeaten in Scotland, which is phenomenal for them, of course. We'll be paying a close, keeping close eye on what Rangers does from now until the end of the season, see if they do remain unbeaten. That'll be one of the more classic moments for the club, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have been doing this a little bit here and there, where we do a hot takes segment here. This is hot takes. What we do is we send out a tweet, usually the day before the show. We ask that you drop your hottest takes, most unpopular opinions, and most burning questions, and we'll read the best ones out on the show and give you a shout out. Again, hot takes here, ladies and gentlemen. There, we don't really give any kind of like restrictions on what kind of topic. Of course, Mags and I are specialists in not only football, but we've also done wrestling podcasting, so some of our wrestling fans have joined in on the questions.
I mean, specialist is very, very generous. I mean, we talk about it. We definitely do. We say words. We say words on these subjects on the regular.
We say the words well. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we do talk pretty. So let's see here. Let's go with let's start with Mike Charlip at MikeJC821. Mike, if you're still in the chat, how's it going? Hope you're doing well. So Mike has some wrestling hot takes here for us, for the pro wrestling fans out there. Mike says everyone should go watch Shingo Takagi versus Kazuchika Okada from New Japan Cup Night 3 because it was amazing and the right person won. Was it amazing? I haven't gotten a chance to see it yet, Mags.
Yeah, when I saw the draw for the New Japan Cup and I saw that Okada versus Shingo was a first round match. First of all, that's a cup ending match. That should be a finals match for me. But Shingo picking up the victory against Okada really cements him as a big, big player in New Japan. He's always been on the cusp of kind of greatness in New Japan, really elevated that NEVER title. But I think now we may be getting the push for him to be a bit bigger, maybe going for the world title. And it was an outstanding match. And what makes it more more impressive is that Okada has been wrestling for the last few months with two slip discs in his back, and he's still been putting on absolutely phenomenal performances. So, yeah, Mark is spot on that it was a great match and really was a massive shock in the New Japan Cup early doors.
So yeah, I'm gonna have to go and check that out, man. That sounds like a really good time. I would be very intrigued by a Shingo Takagi versus Kota Ibushi match somewhere down the road. So thank you, Mike, for your question. Do appreciate that. Soccer Noob at Soccer Noob USA on Twitter. Soccer Noob says AC Milan are going to upset number one Juve Sunday in women's Serie A action in Turin. Let's see here. I haven't seen the result yet. Let's see here. Women's Serie A. Let's see here. Let's pull up the result here. That did not happen, unfortunately, Soccer Noob. The result was 4-0 for the Juventus ladies. The Juventus ladies trampled AC Milan in that game.
I mean, to be fair to Soccer Noob, he took his shot. It didn't come off this time. You miss all 100% of the shots you don't take. So fair play for him to be so bold. But, unfortunately, you struck out this time, sir.
Mm-hmm. I just want to point out a quick stats line here because I do find this to be quite interesting. 4-0 was the scoreline for the Juventus ladies against the AC Milan ladies. So Juventus had 5 shots on target, converted 4 of those 5 shots.
Wow. So, clinical.
Yeah, very clinical. Interesting stuff. But we thank you, Soccer Noob, for bringing this match here to our attention. Greatly appreciate it.
To put a smile on Tanner's face, we can also mention that the Liverpool women won a game today. They beat Crystal Palace 1-0.
Yeah, they're really good, actually. I like them. It does bring a bit of a smile back to my face as I wander through this hellscape known as the Premier League this season. let's see here. So What If Football, a friend over at What If _ YouTube on Twitter, What If Football is asking, or rather says, Brighton are a top half football team quality wise. I tend to agree with him.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, shout out to What If. I puts out some absolutely quality content every pretty much every day. Some really top draw stuff. I keep grinding, sir. And yeah, I feel so sorry for Brighton. The fact that they've been dragged into this relegation battle. They've been so impressive that they haven't kind of gone down the route of playing Route 1 football, defending and really kind of like starful teams. They've come and they've played beautiful football, football that certainly teams like Man United and Manchester City are not playing on a regular basis. Brighton are doing that on a regular basis. It's just unfortunate that the results are not going the way that they deserve. I mean, for instance, look at the Leicester game that they played this weekend. Brighton outplayed Leicester for large periods of this game, fully deserved to come away with something, and then ended up at the death coming away with absolutely nothing. It's heartbreaking for them because they're kind of like the little engine that could. They're really trying to stamp their own kind of unique football on the Premier League, and unfortunately, it's just not working, and they've been quickly dragged into that relegation zone.
I feel like Graham Potter is really putting on some really top quality ideas and really instilling something into this club and into the players. I think the only problem is that the rest, it seems like the majority of the league otherwise just tends to have better players or just gets lucky on that day, like you said with Leicester. I don't think Leicester deserved to win that game up until the very end. Brighton, for me, were clearly the better team for the large majority of the match. It just seems though Leicester is a little bit more clinical right there at the end. Where have we seen that before? I definitely agree. What If Football, I appreciate you. And you can find What If Football at @what_if_youtube on Twitter. Let's see here. Cam Manning at CM says stuff on Twitter. How's it going, Cam? Hope you're doing well. Cam with a really spicy take this weekend. We're going to get back into the mud with food takes here, Mags. Are you ready for this one?
Okay.
Okay. Pickles and pineapples are trash toppings, says Cam. Pickles and pineapples are trash toppings.
Okay, so on toppings on what? I mean, is he saying on a pizza? Pickles?
No, he just says in general, which is what makes it really kind of confusing for me. I like pickles on a good sandwich. I like pickles on a hamburger. I like pickles as a topping or a condiment. I've never really had them on pizza though. I don't know about that.
No. Yeah. I'm totally on Cam's wavelength with that. I think pickles are one of the foods of the devil. I don't see any situation where pickles need to be involved in any food. And I think pickles should be directly thrown into the bin. In terms of pineapple, again, we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. I'm not a massive lover of pineapple on pizza. Mm. I get why people like it. It's the kind of like salt and sweet and tanginess. I understand that, but it's not for me. I certainly wouldn't begrudge somebody else doing it, but I certainly would begrudge them if they had pickles. So
they're not drugs, Mags. You can't, I wouldn't begrudge somebody, you know, using pickles or.
I would begrudge them using pickles. That's the point. I certainly pickles. No, get out of no. They should be banned.
See, I feel like we're really betraying our original stance from 2 weeks ago. Like, I feel like this is like freedom of speech, right? You either believe in it or you don't, right? Like you have to be willing to accept anybody's freedom to put a topping on something.
Okay.
No matter how gross you think it is, right?
If in the privacy of your own home, you want to eat pickles, I will not pickle shame. Just if I see you eating pickles in the street, it's on site. It's absolutely on site. I will pickle slap that sandwich out of your hand.
All right. Well, we all know. Well, actually, Meg, that really does remind me. I was going to segue, and then you said pickle sandwich. And have you seen the pictures of these pickle sandwiches that they have out there?
What, just pickles on a sandwich?
No. Nothing else. Basically, there's a restaurant, maybe multiple restaurants do that, where they have replaced the bread on sandwiches with just basically a giant dill pickle. Here, I'll get you a picture of this thing. Okay.
No, you don't have to do that. Don't go out of your way. I will never be the kind of person to wish somebody's business fail, but in this instance I wish their business failed. That's a horrific idea. I would rather just have the filling like just in a tub than even remotely have the stain of pickle on my my food. No,
well, like, look at this. Yeah,
that's
the pickle has replaced the
that's horrific. That person should be in jail. That's a crime. That's an actual crime.
Some honey mustard, or maybe, I don't know, is that like a mayo or an aioli? I can't tell.
If I went to, you could go Subway's, other sandwich outlets are available, and that was what was offered to me, Elsie's. So there, we now know Elsie's. She should be closed down. That's a food safety hazard.
Look at how thick that sandwich is too. Like, look at, like, there's layers on that.
And yet they're trapped in a green devilish outer casing. That's horrific. Elsa, you should be ashamed of yourself. Grow up. Just grow up, Elsa. At your age.
I've got one more for you, Mags. Here's this one. Notice anything about this sandwich in particular?
It's got pickles on the pickles. They've doubled down on the pickles. How dare they? I would yeet that sandwich right out the window. In fact, no, I'd yeet it at a closed window so the pickles stuck and slid down the sandwich and slid down the window, leaving its disgusting slug-like pickle trail. You absolute animals. Americans should not be allowed to eat food. Your American food should come in tablet form. Because if you're coming up with disgusting things like this, you should be ashamed. As a country, you should be ashamed. Biden, sort this out. Don't give stimulus checks if people are going to be buying stupid pickle sandwiches. They don't deserve stimulus checks.
Wow. Those were some hot takes, Max.
I mean, I am jesting. If you want to eat pickles, you scruffy, scruffy animals, you eat pickles.
Just... Mags was, for a moment, Mags was all for denying people money, federal aid, because they're putting pickles on pickle sandwiches. Yes. I just want that known for the record.
You should lose your house. If you were eating pickles on a pickle sandwich made with pickle bread, you should be homeless. You should be on the street.
The last one there I thought was rather creative. Pickleception, really, kind of pickles with pickles.
It was horrific, Tanner. You know it. Eat the pickle sandwich then. Next time we're on this show.
You want me to go on the plane to get to this Elsie's place to have this pickle sandwich? Is that what we're...
Create yourself a pickle sandwich. Get a giant pickle, fill it with pickles, pickle juice, pickle jam. All just everything pickles.
Well, I mean, pickles are a great source of like electrolytes, you know. I mean,
so's drinking vinegar and probably more delicious.
Interesting take. Mike JC in the chat, he actually has something somewhat related here. What's worse, that or burgers where the buns are glazed donuts? So Mags, would you rather take the pickle sandwich, or would you take the donuts, the donut burger?
I'd rather shit in my hands than clap than eat a pickle sandwich. But then saying that, I mean, I like donuts, I like glazed donuts, I like burgers. I don't know if I'd like them together, but I do know that if I had the donuts and then a pickle, I'd be opening up and peeling the pickle off and throwing it away. Pickles, but that's like two horrible choices.
So no pickles on the donut sandwich. I just want to make sure that's...
Yeah, that's a given. That's an absolute given.
All right, fair enough.
Wow, I didn't think I'd get so testy on a day where we've watched some really good football. What has wrestling Twitter and football Twitter done to us? You absolute heathens.
This is what the people wanted, Mags. So we have to give the people what they want. Thank you, Cam, for your hot take, which made Mags go on.
Yeah, thanks, Cam. Douche.
Oh, wow. Now he's attacking the fans. Somebody's got to contain Mags. Let's try and contain him with this last hot take by our friend of the show, Chris, at IWGP Chris BFC on Twitter. How's it going, Chris? Hope you're doing well.
Chris, this will be a good take, hopefully.
Yeah, don't let it doesn't down, have Chris. To do with it doesn't have to do with pickles. So I think we're in the clear here. Chris says Loyal Carner is the best artist going at the moment. Loyal Carner. Have you heard of Loyal Carner? Have you listened to Loyal's music?
No. Chris does have some interesting choices in music. I think he likes an artist called Juice WRLD. He's a young pup. He listens to these newfangled artists. I can't say I've heard any of his music, so it wouldn't be right for me to judge. But yeah, it's probably not. It's probably just Chris's new fad, flame of the week.
I listened to a little bit of it earlier because I had not heard of Loyal Carter, Carner rather before. So basically, Loyal, I think that's his name, has it's hip hop with a lot of like heavy jazz elements in with it. Really, you know, a kind of a big bassy kind of sounds, very technical jazz patterns and motifs and this kind of stuff. So I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. So, I mean, if you're a fan of hip hop and or jazz, I think that you would really enjoy
that sounds Mr. like Carner's a really good music. Yeah, it sounds like a good fusion. Two like kind of worlds that don't necessarily go together. Yeah, I dare say it's very interesting. I mean, and I would take your word on it because of the albums of the week that you did with Headlock Talk were some really cool, interesting albums and some yes, interesting is probably the best word. I don't want to go too offensive, but some very kind of experimental music that you've mentioned on Headlock Talk. So if it's around those kind of mindsets, then yeah, I'm sure I'll be interested. I still don't think he's the best.
It would be hard to say if there's somebody that's like the best, right?
Yeah, it's subjective.
Yeah, like I've been really into there's a band, I can't say their full name here on YouTube because we'll get in trouble, but if you do a YouTube search for Psychedelic Popcorn Crumpets, I mean they're really really good. There's also King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard has been putting out some really really great stuff for years now. So I mean if you're into that kind of music, if you like psychedelia, then I would definitely recommend those two bands for sure. But yeah, I would just check it out. Just keep an open mind with music, I say.
But not with pickles. But have a very closed mind when it comes to pickles.
Oh man, I'm gonna have so many questions for you after we close this show. Mike is in the chat. Mike asked, "Did I miss your other two takes?" No, Mike, I didn't. I do have your other two takes here. I'll go ahead and read them. I was gonna try and consolidate it here for time purposes, but I'll go ahead and read them for you here. Mags's thoughts on it here. Mike does say, and Mike is at MikeJC821 on Twitter. Mike says, "As much as I like surprises in wrestling, I think AEW is going to underdeliver on whoever this surprise is that Paul White is introducing."
Okay. I see that point. They've made a huge deal of it. And for some fans, It's always going to be a disappointment, no matter who the name is. But one thing I will give AEW a lot of credit for is they've got people talking. They've got people a buzz, and they've not revealed who it is before time. Whenever there's things like this with WWE, you tend to know who it's going to be through dirt sheets or through WWE leaking the news to get viewers to tune in. I've got to give AEW props for keeping the cards close to the chest, dropping those little teaser hints to keep the conversation flowing. But some people are going to be absolutely in love with who it is. Some people are not going to like it. Unfortunately, that's subjectivity. As long as it's somebody who lives up to the claims that they've made, that this Hall of Fame were there, and it's a wrestler that Tony Khan has liked for a long time, it for me it's going to be kind of like a at the watering hole kind of talking point for tomorrow. So I'm happy for it.
Let's see here. Mike also says, let's see here, where was it? He also says, "Not a hot take, just a fact. Miz is one of the worst world champions in the history of WWE. Probably so. I mean, I mean, there's Kane. There's all the people who have only had 24-hour reigns or reigns that aren't even recorded in history.
Okay. I'm going to hold my cards very close to my chest on this one because in an upcoming episode or recording of Badlands, we're going to be touching on this this very same topic. So I don't want to give my game away too much, but The Miz and Kane are certainly two who I would say didn't really serve a purpose. But yeah, we'll see.
Alrighty, man. Well, I think that just about does it here for Radio Techers. We do football here, but of course we dabble into all sorts of other subjects. So we appreciate it. We appreciate everybody who brought in wrestling takes, food takes, music takes. This has been quite a diverse week, and we saw Mags nearly get genuinely upset about pickles, which is baffling to me still. Mags, where can the people find you on Twitter?
There. Go here. D-E-J Kirkman. I have many, many contents with many, many amazing creators all carrying me. I'm absolutely riding people's coattails. Come and give me a follow and check out the content that I'm involved in.
Yeah, I mean, Mag produces great content. You guys had an awesome post-show episode of Five Rounds last night, which was great.
First time we've ever gone live, and to say we were bricking it would be an absolute understatement. For anyone who's listened along to Five Rounds, what we do is we record straight after the show, and then we'll put it out as an audio/video. We bit the bullet and went live, and we had a lot of fun, a lot of interaction. My good friend Tanner here came in and added to the conversation, which was absolutely awesome. It was a fun time.
Yeah, it was a really fun UFC show, and of course Mags and Carlos topped it off with some great post-show commentary. So Mags does great work with Five Rounds as well as all of his other shows. I can't tell you how much I appreciate Mags being on the show week in, week out, and taking the time to join me here to do this.
It's a pleasure. Obviously, an absolute honor.
It's the pleasure is all mine, sir. I appreciate you for being on here. Mike JC in the chat did ask one more thing here before we go off air. He says, I miss Headlock Talk and being a guest on it. Yeah, Mike, I definitely get it. I've wanted to maybe do more dabbling into wrestling, so you might see me tweet out some things occasionally where I might be a guest somewhere doing something. But as of right now, Steven's taking a little bit of a sabbatical, trying to get, personal issues sorted. So, I don't have Steven around to do Headlock Talk with currently at the moment, but maybe in the near future we can figure something else out again. I can definitely assure you of that. I can definitely hope that to be the case. So maybe Headlock Talk comes back in some form or fashion, maybe in the near future. We'll have to wait and see. Mags puts on excellent content. You can find my content, or rather me just retweeting stuff, or you can just hit me up and we can just talk, you and I, right down there at TexasGentleman_. You can find me there on Twitter. Of course, right above Mags, you'll see you can find us on social medias at Radio Techers. I think I'm going to start a Facebook page. Facebook's kind of like the devil, but you can start a Facebook fan page, I guess. That'd be pretty cool. But yeah, you can find us where Mags is pointing at Radio Techers. One last thing. If you look above me, Thrive Fantasy, you can go and use Thrive Fantasy. Tell them that Radio Techers and Shooting the Sports Ish sent you. So if you are if you do sports betting, there's daily fantasy. I'm sure there's all sorts of other Premier League betting and other sports betting that you can do there with Thrive Fantasy. So just let them know Radio Techers and Shooting Sports Ish sent you to Thrive Fantasy. And that definitely goes a long way to helping support the show. Other things that you can do to support Radio Techers, like, share, and subscribe this video, or if you're listening to this in podcast form, like it, tell your friends about it, tell your friends about Radio Techers, tell them that they have to come and see the stream here with Mags and I, and leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever you can. That goes a long way to helping out Radio Techers and everybody that we're associated with. So without further ado, Mags, is there anything else?
Don't eat pickles, guys. Just don't eat pickles.
Fair enough. What a way to close the show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate you guys for choosing Radio Techers. I'm, of course, the Texas gentleman, Tanner Pruitt, and right along with me here, the one, the only, hardest working man all of podcasting, my good friend and yours, Mags.
Bye-bye. Don't eat pickles.